Some Reader's Questions and an Attempt to Respond by Bart D. Ehrman. Read by John Paul Middlesworth. Here are some of the intriguing questions I have received recently from blog members. The first one includes a reply to my response and my response to that reply. Enjoy. Question. Have you considered the angle that Jesus may have been a revolutionary Essene? This would explain his outward orientation instead of inward. I mean, he fits right in with being a disciple of John the Baptist and has a very Essene worldview. A good amount of his followers were also followers of John the Baptist. Most of the points he makes, eating with tax collectors and sinners, doing things on the Sabbath, not obsessing over ritual purity, all of these seem strangely specifically targeted toward the Essenes, which means he is very familiar and actively critiquing them. I am wondering if Jesus' relation to the Essenes could be comparable to Luther's relation to Catholicism, as in Luther was a Catholic and started a revolution inside Catholicism. On the surface, it doesn't fit, but if he's a counterculture within Essenism, it fits pretty well. Response. Yes, I've thought a lot about it and written a lot about it. I don't think John the Baptist was an Essene. If he was, his theology and practices changed once he left the group. So too Jesus. His approach to sinners and purity were almost the opposite of the Essenes, at least the ones we know of. It's worth bearing in mind that most people who attack particular religious groups were not actually one-time members of them. For example, opponents of Mormonism may be former Mormons, but more often they are, say, Baptists who have never set foot in a Mormon gathering. Response to my response. Thanks for the response. I'll have to track down your writings on it for more clarification. The theological/eschatological DNA seem pretty much a match, and they share all that Zoroastrian dualism influence coming through the Essenes. But the behavioral DNA seems inverted. Under this idea, Jesus flips the script on it, and instead of others contaminating your holiness heals the contamination of others. Instead of guarding that holiness in seclusion, bringing that holiness to the people. I'm sure this would have felt messianic in that context. I had been thinking of John as sort of a 50% Jesus, where he broke customs with the Essenes and started spreading it to the people. But they still had to come out to him in the wilderness, so it was semi-secluded. I had envisioned Jesus as taking that start John had and turning it up to max. I realize a lot of this is speculation, but it's an idea that does seem to harmonize a lot of things. Most people who attack particular religious groups were not actually one-time members of them. This is absolutely true, but the best critiques always come from insiders because they know it inside and out. Response to the response to my response. I'd say a lot of religious groups today are severely criticized by outsiders. My view is that if someone wants to argue that Jesus or John was, say, an Essene or a Pharisee or anything else, some people have argued that Jesus was a Pharisee on similar grounds. He argues principally against them on technical issues, which shows he knows them inside and out. It's just a matter of making a compelling case, given what we know both about Jesus and the groups he may have been associated with, in light of broader Jewish beliefs and practices, those held by Jews who were not associated with any particular group, for example. To that end, it's important to remember that the vast majority of Jews did not belong to any group at all. Josephus tells us that the Pharisees in his day were the largest sect, that they numbered about 4,000. That was in a world of something like 4 million Jews. These Jewish groups, Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, Fourth Philosophy, were not like Christian denominations, where nearly everyone belongs to one, Catholic, Greek Orthodox, Baptist, Presbyterian, etc., but more like the local Rotary Club or Chamber of Commerce, where very few people actually do. Question. I was wondering why the NRSV and NRSVUE in Galatians 1:13 say, quote, "You have heard, no doubt, of my earlier life in Judaism," unquote. Other translations do not have "no doubt," and it makes me think that Paul didn't tell the Galatians about that former life of persecuting Jewish followers, leaving it something for his enemies to exploit. Where did "no doubt" come from in the translation process? And is it possible that Paul covered up his past and is now having to come clean to the Galatians about it? Response. It's a good question. No doubt is not in the Greek. It literally says, for you have heard of my behavior formerly in Judaism. The translators are translating the for as a simple continuation of the discussion in idiomatic English, adding no doubt. But there is no need of it. Even so, it is clear, I think, that Paul is reminding the Galatians what they already know about him and his persecution of the Christians. Question. Regarding 2 Thessalonians. If it is being written a few years after 1 Thessalonians, couldn't Paul have changed his mind on how imminent the end times were? If he asked Timothy to write to the Thessalonians and used 1 Thessalonians as a template so that they know it's from Paul and Paul would sign at the end, wouldn't that explain things just as well as a later forger? Response. Sure, most anything's possible. It is possible, for example, that Paul wrote 3 Corinthians and the letter to the Laodiceans. It's always a judgment call. But in the case of 2 Thessalonians, it appears, even to those who hold to its authenticity, that it was written soon after 1 Thessalonians, not years later. That makes it a lot less likely he'd completely flipped his views. But possible. I give a fuller discussion of the argument in my book, Forgery and Counterforgery. But there's no evidence of people in the ancient world assigning letters like this to colleagues/secretaries and then signing off. The only time that appears to happen, for example, Cicero and Tiro, is when it's a very brief form letter.